All right, so catch me up. What is the name of our series? Ready, go. Family Plan. Why are we calling it the Family Plan? Ready, go. Friends and family. And we're studying what? What's the topic we're studying? What are friends and family? What do they fall into? What category?
Relationships.
Awesome. Good job. All right, what's the most important relationship? The first one. First things first. Yeah. God, our relationship with God, and everything else builds on that. And God loves us so much and wants us to know how to have good, healthy relationships that He gave us something. What did He give us? The Bible! And it's our owner's manual, so we can look at our relationships and figure out God's telling us there how to go about having relationships in a good way. So, what are some things that we talked about when we looked at family? You guys remember we talked about family a little bit? Obeying and respecting. We used the word honor. What did honor mean? Anybody remember? Ooh, I gotcha. Ethan? Kind of, yeah. Like showing somebody how much they're worth by the way you respect and treat them. So to honor your parents is saying, you are extremely valuable in my life, and I'm going to show you that by the way I live and respect and obey you. And what else? We talked about you have a responsibility in your family. Do you remember what it is? What's your responsibility beyond obeying and respecting your parents? Do you just sit there and eat breakfast and your lunch and you're like, thanks, Mom and Dad, that was really good to go to bed, and you're done? Do you have something? You kind of did. You're like, yeah, kind of, that's how it is. You to provide for them, to take care of your own family. So that you're like, wait a minute, how am I supposed to take care of my own family? God says that you, if you're a believer in Jesus, should be concerned with making sure your family has what they need. And if not, you're a servant that says, I want to serve my own family and love my family well and take care of my family. So that brings us up to, we started to talk about friends. Remember, Matt Denyer came in and he talked to you guys a little bit about hanging with the right crowd and how to pick the right friends and being around people that will lift you up and encourage you and being a person who lifts up your friends instead of drags them down. And then last week, who remembers? It was a whole week ago. Do you remember what we talked about? Dun, 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 dun. We didn't talk about Jeopardy, you know? Any ideas? Do you remember? Yeah. What? Okay. All right. All right. Anything else? Yeah. Me getting my foot stuck in a wall. We did talk about that. Do you remember why we talked about that? Yeah. Peer pressure. And making sure that we are not becoming slaves to the world. And saying, hey, world, tell me how much I'm worth. Because when we do that, when we look to our friends or we look to other people to tell us our value, we're making ourselves a slave to those people instead of going, God, I want to look to you and see what you say about my value. And you make yourself a servant of God that way instead, and He's always going to tell you the truth. And He's already told you that your value is priceless to Him, enough for Him to die for you. And so knowing that, we're looking this week at Colossians chapter 3. You guys open there real quick. Colossians 3 verses 12 to 16. We're going to look at friendships again this week a little bit more. I had a buddy in college, as you're opening there, I'll tell you this. I had a buddy in college, his name was Ricky. And Ricky actually came and spoke here, I don't know, like 2 years ago or something. And you guys, some of you met him. But Ricky was like, before we actually got to know him, I had this group of friends that thought they were really cool. And I hung out with them because I wanted to be really cool. And so Ricky wasn't like the coolest guy in our eyes. He had like these big buck teeth, and he still does. And he's got big buck teeth, and he would be like over, like happy and like smiley all the time. He was that guy that would always like come up to you and be like, hey, what's up, man? And you're like, bro, like, calm down, like get out of my face. You know, like he's always so happy and always so smiley that we developed a few nicknames for Ricky. And some of my friends called him, because he was like always around, always wanted to hang out with us and like be our buddy. They were really mean. They made up a nickname. They called him Stalker Boy. She's like, just leave us, stop stalking us. It was kind of mean. And one of my other buddies called him Smiley Kid because he always had this weird, goofy smile. He never, ever not had this like huge smile on his face. And we're like, dude, you freak me out. You're just always happy, like too much. It's weird. And I was really creative with my name, like super creative. I called him Horse Teeth, you know, like not creative at all, but that's what I was really mean. So I called him Horse Teeth. And, He never knew, though. We never said it to Ricky's face, but we would avoid him. We'd not hang out with him. We didn't want to be around Ricky because he was like, bro, you just don't fit in with our group. We don't think you're that cool. And, you know, to this day, I can tell you this. That group of friends that I hung out with in college, I have zero idea where they are. I could probably Facebook them and find out, but I've never even had the urge. Like, I don't know where any of them are today. Ricky today is one of my best friends. Like, we call each other at least once a week. He's a pastor up in New England. He has little kids and a beautiful wife, and he's just an awesome guy, and he's one of my best friends in the entire world. But in college, I was like hanging out with these guys who were always like, no, Ricky's, you know, he's this and he's that. He doesn't look like us. He doesn't talk like us. He's always. And so I kind of gave into what they were saying, and I treated Ricky the same way that they did. But little did I know that the actual real relationship there, the heart there, out of all those people, the one that really loved Christ was Ricky. He put up with all the junk. Later on, I even told him some of the names. After we were already like really good friends, I didn't want to break his heart. But I was like, bro, we used to call you something. I called you horse teeth, dude. And he's like, what? Like, he's like, it's true, though. And he do that. He's so funny. I'm going to have him up to talk to you guys one day. But he's like one of my best friends. And I never would have known that if I had listened to these crazy guys that I hung out with that just thought they were so cool. But nothing about my friendship with those guys guarantee that those relationships or friendships was ever going to last, because it was never built on anything. It never mattered. It was just, let's be cool. Let's just hang out. Let's do things that don't matter. And at the end of the day, I couldn't count on them, because all they were about was like looking cool, putting other people down so they looked good, having fun. That's it. You know what Ricky cared about? A lesson he's taught me over the last like 10 years of knowing him. That it's not that stuff that matters. It's about loving people really, really well, even when they're mean to you. Even when sometimes they don't deserve it. And Ricky did that for me, and now we're like best buddies. That's a relationship that lasted. And you know, probably most of us could agree when I say that we're looking for friendships that'll actually last. Like, we're looking for friends that will like be around for us. Nobody starts to be a friend with somebody and is like, oh, cool, let's be a friend for like 1 week and then I don't want to talk to you anymore. Is that cool? Like, awesome. Nobody does that. Like, you're like become friends with somebody, and once you hit it off, you're like, we have so much in common. You start planning your life. You're like, yeah, you're going to be a lawyer, I'm going to be a doctor, we're going to take over the world. It's going to be great. You know, that's how like we want friendships that matter and that last. And so tonight, what the passage that we're going to look at talks about friendships that actually last. Friendships that matter, that really mean something. And so the question then is, how do we do that? Like, how do we find friendships like that? Are you open there yet? You guys at Colossians chapter 3? Let's read verses 12 to 16 together. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, look what it says, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You get that part? Binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I love this passage because right there in the middle, it tells us, if you want to be bound together in fruitful, awesome, lasting relationships, this is how you do it. This is what will actually matter. So some of you are like, all right, so listen, I don't have a lot of friends. It's not about the quantity of friends. It's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about friendships that really actually matter. Do you want a million friends that will just stab you in the back the second you turn around? I mean, that's a lot of knives in the back. You know what I'm saying? Or do you want a couple that you can count on, that you love, that you know will push you towards Christ? Friendships that truly matter. I feel like today everybody is all about how many friends. I'm getting on Facebook, I'm going to show everybody. I have like 6 billion followers on Twitterada, whatever. And then over here on Instagram, I have this, and Snapchat. And then Facebook, I have 8 billion friends. And it's like, I had a friend, not really even a friend, this girl I knew in college who's now like some famous singer that I didn't even know she was a famous singer. She's not that famous, but she sent me an invitation to be her friend and said, but I don't have enough room in my group for like friends so you can be like a fan follower. I didn't even know that existed. I was like, so why are you asking me to be your friend if you don't even have room in your friend group? Like, she's so famous. I'm like, everybody just wants to have a whole lot of friends. It's like, it's some sort of status for us. Like, look how popular I am. Look how many friends and followers I have. When really what God's saying is have people in your life that matter. Relationships and friends that truly matter, that will last and that will be healthy for you to lift you up towards Jesus. That doesn't seem to be what we're running after. And you know what? This is really important for you in junior high. Middle school students, you're like, why aren't you telling this to high school? Seems kind of above our heads. No, because right now is when you guys are really walking into these steps where you're going to start making friends. And you're going to choose some friends during these couple years that are going to make so much of an impact on your life, you don't even realize it yet. You see, I get to talk to kids who are graduating. I get to minister to kids in college because I'm the college pastor too. And I get to talk to them. And I've got to watch them all the way from seventh grade go all the way through college. And it's really cool to hear some of the comments that they make, because when they were sitting right here where you're at, hearing the same things that you're hearing, they wouldn't have believed it. They're like, friends matter. Yes, your friends matter. If you choose the right people, God's going to do some cool stuff. These friends are going to help keep pointing you to Jesus. But if you're like, nah, Rob, what you're saying tonight doesn't matter. It doesn't make that much difference. And you end up in a crowd that's just going to tear you down because you're not looking for lasting friendships. You're looking for followers and fans. I can point you to some students I've talked to who've graduated recently who said, man, I messed up. It was all about my friends. I hung out with these people thinking that they were it. And they dragged me so far away from Jesus, I can't even tell you, Rob. And you know why I want to tell you this right now in middle school? Because I don't want you to end up there. I want you right now to say, hey, listen, I'm going to tell God and make a commitment to God that I'm going to choose people to be my closest friends that are going to push me towards Jesus. I don't care how cool or fun these other people are. I don't care how much money they have or what their parents let them do. I'm going to choose people that push me towards Jesus, because I want real lasting friendships and relationships in my life. And so that's my prayer for you guys right now in seventh and eighth grade. I'm praying that over you guys. So look at what he says first in verse 12. He says, put on then. What does that sound like? What does that sound like he's telling us to do? What do you do every morning when you get up, hopefully? Or do you take your shower, get dried up, you do what? You put on your clothes. You put something on, right? That's exactly what this word was used for. It was like changing clothes. You take off your dirty, disgusting clothes that they wore for a long, long time and be full of sweat and mud and dirt and nastiness because they didn't have many clothes to change into back then. And so when they changed their clothes, it was like a big deal. Like this was like homecoming, you know, the equivalent. Like I'm putting on my suit and tie and I'm getting it all nice for the girl. Smell good and everything. It's great. You know, that's the deal. And so when he says this here, put on then, that's the idea of you're changing all the dirty disgustingness. And you're putting on something fresh and clean and new, and it's like, wow, what a difference. And so when he says put on then, listen to that, because he's talking about a total exchange of something in your life. As Jesus has made a difference in you, look at the next phrase, as God's chosen ones. You know the Colossians, that's who he's talking to here. They were scared to death of the gods. They believed in these cosmic gods that were just out to like zap people and throw lightning bolts and do all this craziness to them. And the gods were not nice. And they had to appease the gods. And so Paul makes it really clear here. We're not talking about those fake gods that you guys believe in. I'm talking about the one true, real God tonight who exists, who loves you, who's died for you. And here's the deal. He's not out just to smite you. He's chosen you. Like you are a chosen one of the living true God who created everything. By name, he called your name out. And when he says put this on, what he's saying is God literally, when Jesus died for you, took your sin and he ripped it off you. And he gave you a brand new thing to put on, a brand new life. He gave you a new name. He made you different, so you're not you anymore. He gave you a whole new identity. And you're found in Jesus because God chose you. And look what he says about you. Holy. He took your sin and he said, I'm taking that name of sin off and I'm giving you a brand new name. You're not a sinner anymore. You are a holy, righteous child of God. And so you can take that off and you can put on a brand new identity and live different and be different because God did that. So put this thing on and look at the next word. And beloved, I'm not throwing lightning bolts. I'm loving you fiercely. I'm sending my son to die on a cross for you. That's how much I'm loving you right now. There's nothing in heaven or hell that will ever stop me from pouring out all my love on you. I'll nail it to a cross. I'll put it to a grave and I'll raise it again because I want you to know that I am so in love with you. And I got something brand new for you. So as you engage in relationships in your life, I have something brand new. This fruit that's going to pop up in you. That's going to show that you're different. You've put on your new identity. So stop for a second. Stop right there. And before we go any further, I want you to ask yourself a question, honestly. Just kind of think in your head. If you have to close your eyes, do it. If you don't, cool. What are your friendships like right now? Don't like look at people or point fingers stuff. I just want you to be like honest. What do your friendships look like? What are things that you do with your friends that you hang out with? How do you talk when you're around them? How do you joke? Is there ever a time where God comes up when you guys are hanging out? Is it normal? Like if I were to hang out with you guys, you didn't know I was there. I was just like sketchy, like stalking you, like watching. What would I see? Like would I hear you guys talking about Jesus and excited about like God like you do when you come to a youth group? Or is it a totally different dynamic when you guys are together out of this place? What are your friendships like? Do you pray for your friends? Do you ever read the word and talk about it with each other? Do you encourage each other to memorize verses? What is your friendships like? What are your friendships like? Because Paul says that there's a time that your friendship might look like the world describes friendship, you know, the whole Facebook friendship deal. But now, as Jesus has changed you and made you a believer, you can take that off and you can put on a brand new identity, and it's going to revolutionize your friendships and your relationships all around in your life. And here's how it's going to happen. Look at the fruit that pops up. He says, put on then. This is what he wants us to put on. This is the change. Compassionate hearts. All of a sudden, you become a compassionate person. The best way I can describe this to you is, you guys know Matt and Jess Denyer, right? Everybody know? Raise your hand if you know them. All right, y'all know them. Matt Denyer, hunter man, right? Beard, shoot stuff. He's like, Matt Denyer in an animal, that animal better watch out because he's going to shoot it and eat it. Like, that's what's going to go down. Matt has zero compassion in his heart for ducks and animals that can be hunted, all right? Maybe dog, but barely even dogs, okay? So he's not the most compassionate person when you think about that. Think about the exact opposite of Matt Denyer is his wife, Jess Denyer, who I have literally seen her bawl her eyes out driving down the road because she saw like an animal dead on the side of the road, like a squirrel. And she's like, ah, like she cries. Like if you mention anything, like even a small story about an animal being hurt, she's like, ah, and she'll go off in a corner and cry because she's like compassionate, which Matt isn't quite that much, you know? And so, but that awesome ability to put yourself in the shoes of someone or something else. And she kind of feels for it. And so compassion means that you're able to kind of put yourself in the shoes of your friends, of other people. I got a question. How could this change your friendship? What about that grumpy friend who comes to the lunch table and kind of in a bad mood and is kind of snappy on everyone? What's the first thing you do? You jerk, shut up, be nice to people. You know, is that what you do? Or is it like, you know what, guys, hold on a second. They might be having a really bad day. We don't know what just happened. We don't know if he just got a phone call with really bad news. We don't know if he just came from a class where someone was really mean to him. We don't know if he just failed a test. We don't know if he just got in a car accident. We have no idea where he just came from. So let's put ourselves in his shoes for a minute. Before we just jump on him and judge him and react, can I have a compassionate heart that says, you know what, I don't know what you're going through, but I want to know. When was the last time you asked your friends, like, are you okay? You doing all right? You look like you might be having a bad day. Can I pray for you? You want to talk about it? Like, Rob, I'm too young for that. No, you're not. You're not too young to love people. You can even be a mature adult in this and say, look, my friend's having a bad day. I want to be there for them. Because remember, we're building friendships that actually last. And this is where it starts. Being able to be compassionate and put yourself in other people's shoes. How would that change your friendships if you were able to be compassionate? Girls, sometimes you got this down. Like Matt and Jess' illustration, girls are usually over-compassionate. It's like, whoa, you know, like, I'm okay. Like, I was just like snoozing, you know, and you thought I was mad. I'm not. But like, guys, sometimes we're like, bro, I don't talk about my feelings. Suck it up. You know, like, that's what we do. We're not always the most compassionate people. I want to challenge you guys. Don't ever be too tough to love people. Don't ever be too hardcore to care about other people. And one of my best friends in the world, Clint Chupka, some of you guys know him, some of you guys don't, Mr. Chupka, is so awesome at being compassionate. One of the manliest dudes I know. But he's so compassionate. He's always putting himself in other people's shoes. I'm that grumpy Eeyore guy that sometimes shows up to Chupka's classroom just in a bad mood. And he's not like, Rob, get out of my class. Like, he's like, bro, what's wrong? He's always asking, like, or if I'm upset with somebody else, you know, the first thing Chupka says to me is, well, you don't know what kind of day they had, Rob. Chill out for a minute. He's like so compassionate. Some of us might need to stop and just ask Jesus to give us a compassionate heart. A heart that looks like his. A heart that says, help us really love people enough to put ourselves in their shoes. The next thing he says here is kindness. Kindness. You think like that's a given, right? You know those bumper stickers? Just be nice. Can't you just be nice? Have you ever seen those? Like, sometimes I feel that way. Just be nice. That's what he's saying. Whether people deserve it or not, can you still be nice? This is what kindness is. Readiness, like you're always ready to do good. You're always looking to do a good thing for someone else, whether they deserve it or not. So maybe they definitely don't deserve it. Maybe they do deserve it, or maybe you just have no idea. It doesn't matter, because I'm looking to be kind. I'm looking to do good for others. How would that change your friendships if kindness came into play? If you weren't always just tearing your friends down and tearing other people down, if you weren't looking to start fights, if you weren't looking, what if you were actually kind to people, whether even if they didn't deserve it? Your friend comes up in a bad mood and just gives it to you, you know? And you're like, bro, I love you. What? Why? You know, like, I wanted to fight. Like, how would that change? They would totally surprise them. How would that change the way you guys interact? The things you guys talk about? How much more awesome would your friendships be if we learned how to be kind? And some of you guys know Jordan Hall. He was over here when we did that praise night with Georgiana. And Jordan was one of our worship leaders that came up here. I was out to lunch with him and a couple guys the other couple weeks ago. We went to Tijuana Flats, and we're sitting at the like outside table, and we're all just kind of eating, talking, and chilling. And I'm looking down at my food, talking, and I say something to Jordan, and he doesn't respond. And I look up, I'm like, "What?" And everybody kind of looks up, because when we eat, we're always like, "Oh, you know." We look up, and we're like, "Where's Jordan?" We're all looking like asking each other. We didn't even see him leave. And one of us looks off to the side, he's like, "There he is." We look over. And he's like off kind of next to the building talking to this homeless guy who just walked up. Jordan got up, left his food there, and just takes off to talk to this homeless guy. And he's over there praying. He's got his hands on him. He's praying to this homeless guy. And we're like, I didn't even see the guy. And there's Jordan with a heart that's always looking to do good for others. That's kindness. How many people would be like, ooh, homeless guy, everybody hide. Don't make eye contact. Or he's going to smell and we're eating or whatever. Like, he's going to ask for food. And Jordan leaves his food, gets up and just walks. He's always like that. That's not just one instance and I'm like bragging on Jordan. That is a constant lifestyle that I see in Jordan. His heart is a heart that is so compassionate and so kind. And I learned from that. And I asked Jesus, make me that kind. Help me to be kind like Jesus to people that just need it. Whether they deserve it or not, help me to be a kind person. Some of us are just mean. And I'm not saying that to be mean to you. I'm not saying that to hurt feelings. But some of us, we're just straight out mean. And we need to go before God and just be like, change this in me. I'm just a jerk. And we need to ask God to give us a heart of kindness and replace that in us. To take that off of us and put on this kindness that's brand new. The next one is humility, he says. Humility is basically like thinking low of yourself, not trying to put yourself up high and over everybody else, thinking you're great. But there's more. This form of humility is servanthood. Like, I'm a servant. And the best person I can point out for this for you is Jesus. Philippians 2. Jesus took the form of a servant and was nailed to a cross to serve you. You're like, what? Serve me? I know he died for me, but how is he serving me through that? the ultimate act of service, that you didn't have to go do all that work and pay for all those sins because you couldn't do it. And Jesus said, I'm going to serve you by paying it with my very life. The king, like the king of all creation, is like, hey, listen, I'm not too cool or too high or too whatever to come down and do this and get low with you. I'm going to be your servant. The king of all creation is going to come serve me. What? Why would you do that? Because he knows humility. The heart of Christ is humble, and that's the heart we should have. Instead of always trying to brag about yourself and put other people down so you look good, always, man, just love people. Just be humble. Some of you guys, like I said, are so good at this. I'm preaching at the choir. Keep asking Jesus to do that in your heart. But as we talk about a few of these things, if the Holy Spirit's like, hey, that's you, can I challenge you? Will you just stop and be like, Lord, I know that one's me. Maybe all of them are me. Will you change that? Will you help me put on this new heart that you can give me? The next one is kind of a weird word. It's meekness. You guys are like, what's meekness? Does anybody know what meekness is? You do? All right, take a step. Yeah, it's that idea of gentleness, like someone who's gentle. But there's more to it even than that, because this gentle person uses that gentleness to call people out. Like, whoa, what? Yeah, this is a very bold, courageous person who can come up to you and be like, look, there's sin in your life. But they do it in a gentle way. And you're like, Nathan Chapman, I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was one of the old youth pastors here, one of my best friends in the world. I love him. Nathan was awesome at calling people out for sin in a way where you were like, do it again. You're like, I love you, man. You're like, you never ended up being like, bro, you just made me really mad. When Nathan would call you out, there was something about the meekness of this man that he learned from Christ that you'd be like, cool, dude, thank you for telling me that. Thank you for telling me my life stinks, you know, like tell me how horrible I am. He was just good at it because he was doing it with a heart that really loved you. So when Nathan told you, hey, look, this is wrong in your life, you knew he wasn't doing it to just drag you down or push you down. He was doing it because he's like, man, I want to see Rob Jones be better, be healthier in Jesus. I want to see him have a better relationship with Christ. So when I call Rob out, I'm going to do it out of a heart of love. So you can receive it and not be upset. You say, yeah, man, you're right. That's meekness. See, some of us are good at calling people out. We're just like, at everybody. We're like, you do this and you do that and you keep your mouth be quiet because I saw you do this. And we're like, bam, bam, bam. It's like guns all over the place. We're blazing. That's not what we're talking about. This is telling truth to people that need to hear it, but you do it in a way that is so full of love and gentleness that they receive it and they're like, you're right. And I know that because you've proven it by how much you love me. That type of thing doesn't just happen when you walk up to a stranger in the road and you're like, how dare you? You know, like, it doesn't work. It works when you've shown and proven your love for that person because you have a heart of meekness. The next thing it says is patience. Yeah, I bet most of us are horrible at that. All right? Yeah, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, but mine's up, okay? Patience is hard. Willing to keep loving people even when they're not too kind to you. Even when they're really slow to come around. Willing to be patient with someone and say, God's got a big, long plan for you. So right now might not be that great, but we're going to keep working through this and keep loving Jesus together. Look at the next phrase, kind of like hints on it. It says, bearing with one another. When it's most difficult to be patient, you're able to bear with them. You ever had to like kind of grit your teeth and just bear something? Someone says something like, your mom like ticks you off. Excuse me, ticks you off. And you're like, oh, I want to say something, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to do like this. You ever done that? Or is that just me? Am I a really horrible person? You like bite your tongue and you're like, I don't want to respond because I know it would be worse. It's probably nothing like that. I don't even know where I'm going with that. No, it is. And you're just like kind of like, oh, I don't want to respond this way. Bearing with one another doesn't even have to do that. Because when the love of Christ is in you, you're like, I love you so much that I'm willing to bear with you. I love you because of what Jesus has done. I love you because you're a real true friend of mine. I care. Well, this isn't some quick showy relationship. In that case, yeah, I'd have to really bite my tongue hard, but this is something I'm in for the long haul. I want a relationship that lasts, that means something, and so I love you. So when I have to be patient with you and bear with you, God's giving me the power to do that. Some of us need to ask God to give that to us. All right? And look what it says next. He says, this is a biggie. You guys ready for this one? And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. He doesn't say, hey, you need to be able to just forgive, you know, be good at forgiving. He says, don't just forgive. I need you to forgive the same way that Jesus forgave you. Whoa. You just took it up a notch. Paul, like, you went from just forgive to, like, the way Jesus forgives? We know this well. You guys already know how Jesus forgave us. The point where we're looking at Jesus going, I hate you. And he's looking down going, I love you enough to die right now for you. In the middle of it, no matter what you're doing, no matter how bad you're being, I love you. And I forgive you. Some of us have a hard time just forgiving the small things. Never mind loving the way Jesus did. That's huge. The same people that drove nails through his hands and feet. Same people that beat him with that whip and shoved the crown of thorns into his head and spit on him and pulled his beard out. Those people, they never asked for forgiveness. And yet he still offered forgiveness. And sometimes we have a hard time just because somebody looked at us wrong and we're like, I'll never forgive you ever. We need to ask God, make us people that can forgive because we love. We have hearts of love that look like Jesus. He says, above all these, ready for this one? Here's the key ingredient. Put on love. He's like, I know that seems like a lot of stuff. You guys probably forgot number one already. There's a lot of things we just talked about. Here's how they all play out. Love. If you really love the way Jesus loves, you'll be patient. You'll be able to bear with people. You'll be meek. You'll have all these things he's talking about because it'll be fruit of your love. Love people well. Above all these, put on love, because this is why. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love gives you relationships that truly last. Binds you together with other believers into one body, he says next. You become one body and to the point where you can look up and say, God, thank you because you had to do this. You take a group of kids, throw them in a room together, no adults around. Uh-oh. You get 10 minutes. You get girls ripping hair out. You get bald spots. You're like, you know, like boys get like fat lips from getting punched in the face. You got like craziness going on in this room because we don't get along very well on our own. We don't play by the same rules. It takes a work of God, because you could put a group of adults together and probably see the same thing happen. Let's just be honest. It's human nature. It's sin. But God says, when you have the love of Christ, you can put on this new heart that loves so much, it will actually bind people together. It works out problems. It keeps you from gossiping behind people's back and stabbing people in the back and all these other things that we do to each other in our friendships. Leading people to do dumb, sinful things instead of encouraging them to love Jesus. Love changes those things. And it binds us together in lasting relationships through Jesus. So, he ends with verse 16. Look at this. He says, after all that, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Doesn't it sound like you just described like a church service right there? You're like, love the word, listen to the word. That's what we're doing. Sing some songs and hymns and spiritual songs. This is what we just did. Love each other well. Like, these are awesome things. Admonish each other in all wisdom. Now, here's the deal. Paul's saying, if you really love each other, don't just stop at the love. If you want a relationship that really lasts, you know what you should build your relationships on? Like we said, God, you do that by studying the word together, by singing and worshiping God together, by lifting each other up, admonishing in each other. How do you go about your friendships right now? Remember that question I asked you at the beginning? Like, if you had to close your eyes and think, what is like hangout time with your friends look like? What does it consist of? Is it just chill? Is it just Xbox? Is it just basketball? Is it just fun all the time. Let's just play hard and sleep hard. Like, is that cool? That's all we do? Or are there times as you look through your friendships where it looks like this? Because he's not just talking about being at church. Church doesn't just happen right here in this room. Church happens as you leave this place and you hang out with your friends. We call it doing life together. As you guys go out, why do you think we came up with life groups and fire stations and all these little groups that we're trying to teach you guys how important it is that you're doing life together, that you're loving each other, that you're reading the Word and talking about the Word and talking about God together? Sometimes it feels like all we talk about is just junk. Like half the time when we're with our friends, guys, you're just talking about girls. Girls, you're just talking about guys. Guys, you're just talking about sports and other things. Girls, you're just talking about, I won't even say nails and makeup because I always get in trouble for that. So whatever else it is you talk about, you know, like stuff. Or is it like, hey, let's get together and somehow as we're sitting around this campfire goofing off, like we're going to talk about how great our God is. Or somebody's going to break out a guitar. We're just going to start singing and praising Jesus. Does that ever happen? Would that be totally awkward if that happened and it wasn't a church event? Just you and a couple guys hanging out, boys, girls in some sleepover. You're just chilling. All of a sudden, you just start singing to Jesus because you love him. Like, would that be weird if there wasn't like a youth leader there? Because that's what he's describing. Friendships that last are centered around God. And it shows up in the way you guys spend your time together. I want to encourage you to be those people. Ask Jesus to do a work in you. Ask Jesus to make himself the most important thing in your life. And let it show, because you're putting on his heart every morning when you wake up and saying, Jesus, help me live for you today in the way I interact with my friends and with other people. All right? Will you guys pray with me as we close? Father, we do love you so much, and we thank you that you love us enough to give us this word that teaches us about life. It teaches us how to be in a good relationship with you and with other people. Make us, God, people that want to love you well by the way we love others. Give us friendships that truly last because they're centered on you. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.